As it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going around taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man will come to that. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each suck. Will you partake of that last offered cup or disappear into the potter's ground when the man comes back? Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big cattle run. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wits. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for me to kick against the pricks.
This is Pastor Buddy. Welcome in here tonight with us to the Shepherd's Call. We have a great program lined up for you tonight. You just don't want to miss this important series that we have started here on WWCR, Around the World on the Jewel of the South. So stay with us tonight, and let's get right into the message. We're going to start in the Bible. We're going to entitle our message, last Sunday night, as you very well know, we looked into the actual time of the birth of the Messiah. Tonight we're going to look into, if you will, join us tonight in our search for the real Bethlehem. Now, we've been told by tradition that Christ was born in the south, that is in Judea or Judah. But ladies and gentlemen, that crosses swords with all of the biblical reasoning that we're going to look into. He was called a Galilean because we find out that he was a Galilean. We find out that all of his apostles, this is amazing, except one, or Galilean. It describes the speech, actually the speech of the Galileans will differ from those of the Jews. When Pilate asked Christ if he was the king of the Jews, the only reply that Christ gave him was, "Thou sayest." Not one scripture after 50 years of searching in the Bible for myself, can I find that would link Christ to being of the bloodline of the Jew? But the world, especially the Christian church, has been charmed with the charmers, those who have changed certain scriptures, and the Bible said, beware of the genealogy and beware of the scribes. Endless genealogy and scribes who we believe have doctored, if you will, the Bible in certain places for the express purpose. You see, they always were jealous. And we're talking about Judah and the other sons, to tell you the truth. They were jealous of Joseph because he was the birthright son. Now, what does the birthright mean? Well, we're going to get into that tonight. We're going to explore from the scriptures actual facts about the Christ and his birth. Now, let's start in the 35th chapter of the book of Genesis. And we're going to begin at the 6th verse. So Jacob came to Luz, L-U-Z. Now, I want you to remember this, because if you do your geographical homework, you're going to find out that this is in the northern kingdom of Galilee, the very place where Joseph inherited from his father Jacob this home place. This is the birthright home place, and Christ was to come from the birthright son. The scepter was given to Judah, but the birthright was Joseph's. Now, we're going to expound a little bit in that in the book of Genesis, the 49th chapter to be exact. We're going to look at the scepter. The Bible says that when the true birthright son comes to possess the birthright, that the scepter will then depart from Judah. Now, the question is, did the rightful owner, was Christ, Jesus in the English, Yahweh Yeshua in a flesh body in the Hebrew, did he come as the birthright son, and did he redeem as the kinsman redeemer to the house of David, which we're going to prove to you was of the house of Ephraim, Joseph? Now, with that said, and Christmas coming upon us, we talked about the birth of Christ being not in December the 25th, but there is an article that I'm going to read to you tonight by Norman Hellman. He's actually the archaeology correspondent, and he wrote this article just recently, and we begin, and I quote Mr. Hellman. As the shops fill with Christmas goods, a mere 1 month ahead of the festival itself, the words and image of old little town of Bethlehem, how still we see they lie, will spread across cards and gift wraps. In the view of a leading Israeli archaeologist, Bethlehem really did lie still at the time of Christ's birth because there was no little town there. And the nativity took place elsewhere at another Bethlehem much closer to Nazareth that is identified in the New Testament as the place where they went up from. Not down to. Now keep in mind, the Bible says that Joseph went up to Bethlehem, and if he would have been in Nazareth, he would have went down south to a Bethlehem, but here there was no little town there. So how could he have gone? And who would have wanted him to go to Bethlehem, Judea? If this was the birthright son, and the Jews recognized him as the birthright because they said, let us kill him and we will possess. Does that sound familiar? Well, I believe it does, because in the 45th chapter of the book of Genesis, we read that they tried to actually kill Joseph, who was a type of Christ, who would be born not in Judea, but in Bethlehem of Galilee. We're going to prove that. Now here, this leading archaeologist says that Bethlehem really did lie still at the time of Christ's birth because there was no little town there. And the nativity took place elsewhere at another Bethlehem much closer to Nazareth. 7 miles to be exact. There is a complete absence. Now listen to this now. This is amazing. And yet we've been deceived by the cunning craftiness of the wording. Just a few word changes would completely give you the wrong Bethlehem to believe in and sing about. In Bethlehem, Judea, there was no Bethlehem, Judea at the time of the nativity or the birth of the Messiah. Was it in December 25th? No, it was not. We've proved that she didn't get pregnant or she didn't conceive until the 7th month. Now, counting from that month, in a leap year, they would have 13 months. That would have put the birth of Christ in the 2nd month, because the 1st month begins at Abib, that is the Passover month, and the 2nd month would be the 2nd Passover. And that's actually when he died. And it's actually, believe it or not, the time he was born. So he was born and died by the mathematical genius, pre-planned, pre-scheduled, if you will, written in the stars, by the way, by someone that knew that the Jews, who are liars, would take advantage to change the birthright authority down to a place that didn't even exist 2,000 years ago at the time of the Nativity. The vast database of the Israelite Antiquities Authority describes Bethlehem as an ancient site with Iron Age material, and the 4th century Church of the Nativity and associated Byzantine and medieval buildings. The following, the Six-Day War, 1967, survey showed plenty of Iron Age pottery, but with a single exception of a publication that mentions Herodian shreds found in a corner of the church, there is surprisingly no archaeological evidence that ties Bethlehem in Judea to the period in which Jesus would have been born. A contemporary aqueduct running through the locality suggests that there was indeed no settlement, since such works did not cross build up areas. In the 90s, as one of the archaeology staff, Mr. Oshara carried out rescue archaeology at the rural settlement of Bethlehem in Galilee. And they were surprised to find a substantial ancient community of the time of Christ. We know that Bethlehem of Galilee was a bustling center of Hebrew life around the time of Jesus' birth, he says. There were residential areas and a workshop for making stone vessels used in the Hebrew purification rituals. In the 19th century, there were suggestions that the Galilee site could have been the real Bethlehem. But there was, at the time, no archaeological evidence to back them up. Since then, the evidence of surprisingly strong emphasis suggests that early Christian interest has been found, including a large 6th century church with mosaic floors, and one of the largest in Israel. It raises the question of why such a huge house of Christian worship was built in the heart of the Galilean area and none found in the Judean area, Mr. Oshira notes. Now, there is still the thorny point of the gospel testimony, with both Matthew and Luke describing Bethlehem in Judea as the birthplace of Christ. But Mr. Oshira notes that it was also the legendary birthplace of King David more than 1,000 years before, and attaching the nativity of Christ to the location would reinforce his reputed descent from David. And it would also bring in the Old Testament prophecies such as Micah verse 2, "But thou Bethlehem Ephratah, though you be little compared to the thousands of Judah," meaning that he didn't come from Judah, "but though he be the birthplace of his nativity, though it be little compared to the large area of Judah, yet out of thee the little place," not the big place, Judah was the largest tribe area in the appointments of Israel. But the scripture denotes in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that the king, the promised king, and he would rightfully be bloodline identified with the house of David. And ladies and gentlemen, in part 2 of this series, we're going to prove that David was indeed not a Jew, but he was an Ephraimite, because his father was an Ephraimite. Now, I know this is going to go right against your Christmas thoughts of old little town of Bethlehem, Judea. But just like the December 25th celebration is incorrect, the place that he was actually born and accepted is incorrect. "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah." Now, in Genesis, chapter 35 and verse 19, "And Rachel died and was buried in the way to Ephrah, which is Bethlehem." So Bethlehem Ephratah, the fruitful place, the birthright field, the king, this appointed king, would come from the little obscure place in northern Galilee, actually only 7 miles from Bethel, which is in northern Galilee. Now, you would have to travel a lot farther from Bethel in Galilee down to southern Judah, and a pregnant woman riding at least 60-some miles, it just didn't happen, ladies and gentlemen. She only rode the short distance from Nazareth to Galilee in Zebulun, and that's what the prophecy of Isaiah chapter 9, it says that he would be born beyond Galilee, in Galilee. The prophecy, "Unto us a child is born." The nativity scene clearly states that we will be in the land of Zebulun of northern Galilee. And this is the home place of David, who was an Ephraimite. We'll prove that in part 2 as we continue the article here. Bethlehem of Galilee is itself known in the Old Testament. mentioned by Joshua as the town of the tribe of Zebulun, and as the refuge of guardian priests who fled to Galilee after the destruction of the second temple in Jerusalem. It may never displace its Judean homonym and Christian belief, but the discrepancy in the archaeological evidence for the two places at the appropriate date remains an intriguing source of speculation and under the scrutiny of archaeology. It has been proven that the city in Zebulun, Galilee, Bethlehem, did flourish at the time of Christ, and there is no archaeological evidence to support that there was a town in the southern Judean kingdom known as Bethlehem. Now, why in the world would there be a discrepancy in these articles? Well, to tell you the truth, ladies and gentlemen, with Christmas time coming and Christians singing about Bethlehem, Judea, and as it is recorded in the book, if you will, it's recorded in the book of Matthew and the book of Luke. But the prophecies doesn't match what is written in the New Testament. So something is wrong, as we like to say here in the South, something's rotten in Denmark, about this story of Christ being born in southern Judea. Was he a Jew? No, indeed he was not. Was he indeed a Galilean? Yes, he was. Why then would the scriptures indicate that he would be born over in Bethlehem, Judea, as thus saith Matthew? Well, let's look into the book of Matthew for just a moment. We've covered this series before, but we're going to look into the prophecies and see if the prophecies will match what the prophecies of the New Testament say, if these are true prophecies. Now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Now, is this proper wording? Absolutely not. Ladies and gentlemen, if he had been the Christ Redeemer, and this would have been an actual quotation from the prophecies, then we would have read in the prophecies that he was only coming to be the Messiah for the Jews. But was he more than a Messiah for the Jews? Was he not the Messiah of Israel? Was he not judged to be a Galilean of the 10 northern tribes? Was it not true that all of those on the day of Pentecost were all Galileans and no Jews present? Let me repeat that. Everyone that spoke in tongues, the new tongue, and he said, I'll give you a new tongue. This tongue was a different tongue than what the tradition of the scribes and the Pharisees had indoctrinated the people in the religious rituals, that the Messiah would be a Jew rather than a Hebrew. Is there a difference between a Jew and a Hebrew? Yes, indeed there is. And here the wording is incorrect. Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to worship him. Was he only a star for the Judah or the Jews? Well, let's see here. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea. Oh, really? Is it written in the Bible that they said Bethlehem, Judea? No, it is not. The prophets do not confirm that he would be born in Bethlehem, Judea, thus the birthplace of the actual Messiah for the house of Israel, not the Jews, was in a little obscure town up in northern Galilee called Bethlehem. And the fact that the two Bethlehems are now on the map, it is the one in the north that was flourishing in the time of Christ 2,000 years ago, and archaeology has proved Vashar Buddy's doctrine and belief and correcting in the Word. You see, the Word has to stand the scrutiny of the investigation, line upon line and precept upon precept, and here the scribes lied. It does not say that Christ is going to be born in Bethlehem, Judea. Hosea Micah in chapter 5 and verse 2, another scripture that we're going to get into in part 2, will confirm that he was to be born, as I've said, in the book of Isaiah. Turning to the book of Isaiah, we're going to see what the book of Isaiah says. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be as such as was in her vexation, when at first he did lightly afflict the land of Zebulun, not the land of Judea. Now, who are we talking about? The affliction here. We're talking about Herod that sent out and slew all of the male children, 2 years old and under, trying to kill the king of Israel, not the king of the Jews. It was the Judean Herod, the tetrarch, the one that feared for his kingdom, the one that hated Christ, the one that despised him, along with the other Judeans who were there hating Christ, actually killed him. Later on, 33 years from the date of the birth of Christ, he died at the hands of the Jews who hated him. And Christ identified these Jews as serpents. And ladies and gentlemen, I know that this sounds anti-Semitic, but it's not. Because, you see, Israel is the 12 tribes, 13 if you count the tribe, or the adoption of the two sons of Joseph. So the two sons took the place of Joseph, and now we have 13 tribes that will be included in the makeup of what we call the House of Israel. So I'm not teaching anti-Semitic doctrine. I'm teaching Semitic doctrine. But the deception is that Christ was a Jew, and therein lies the deceit. For truly, he was not a Jew. He was a Hebrew from the birthright tribe of Ephraim, born in the city of Bethlehem, Zebulun. And there, Zebulun, the land of Zebulun, and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her, this is the seed of Rachel, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. What's that mean? The 12 tribes. Meaning, translated, the word nation here is translated 1471, nation, 1471 and strong, meaning the 12 tribes or the 12 nations of Jacob's bloodline that Christ would come through. Amazing. Here we've been led down the primrose path of deception once again. We have been lied to about his birthday by the Catholic Church, who picked out December the 25th because it was the observation of the worship of the sun god. The S-U-N god, not the S-O-N god that came. In Galilee, oh hallelujah, I feel the great Shekinah anointing. Pastor Buddy, bringing you truth where the rubber meets the road. One more time, I appeal to your source of truth. Do not be deceived, for God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Ladies and gentlemen, let me assure you that the time has come that men will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and will turn from the truth, and shall be turned into fables, and will go to hell with all nations that forget God. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. You know why he came? To set those in darkness alight, to set the captives free. Here is one truth in the light of his word, that he would come as the Prince of Peace, for unto us a child is born. This is Christ. Where did they say he's going to be born? In the land beyond Jordan, in Galilee. Ladies and gentlemen, when they crossed the Jordan, they went to a place called Mount Gerizim, and there they erected an altar, and it became the birthright center of the nation of the house of Israel, Judah included. You see, Judah is included in the 12 tribes, in the standard issue of Jacob's sons, and now the 13 tribes with Ephraim being the chosen birthright son, and Judah was jealous and envious because he had taken the scepter by default. Ladies and gentlemen, here is your prophetic scripture, and if you've ever heard the word, hear this word tonight by Pastor Buddy, and listen to this quotation from the 49th chapter of the book of Genesis. Ladies and gentlemen, it is written in the scriptures that they shall know the truth, and the truth will make them free. Listen to the 9th verse of the prophetic utterance for the blessings of the house of Israel from the father of Israel, Jacob. Judah, you are he whom your brethren shall praise. Your hand shall be in the neck of your enemies. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Thy father's children shall bow down before thee. Judah is a lion's whelp. From thy prey, my son, thou art gone up. He stooped down, he couched as a lion, an old lion, and who shall rouse him up? Here is the prophetic scripture for the house of Judah. Listen to me well. The scepter, now we're talking about the birthright and the scepter. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until the Shiloh, co-word, Messiah, come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Now, did you hear the prophetic prophecy of Genesis chapter 49? The scepter will depart from Judah when Shiloh, the Messiah, comes. Oh my, no wonder someone got mad. No wonder the Jews were angry. No wonder the Jews were jealous and envious of this great prophetic scripture. The scribes knew this scripture very well. the scribes knew it so well that they changed it to a location that wasn't prophetic in the Bible. Now, let me show you something very interesting here while we're in the prophecies of the book of Genesis. Joseph, verse 22, is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well. Remember Christ standing at Jacob's well? Ladies and gentlemen, this well was in the territory of Ephraim, Joseph. The branches that run over the wall are those who would descend from the blood of Joseph. And the king would come from this bloodline. The birthright, the king, would come from Joseph, the fruitful bough. But the archers have sorely grieved him. Ladies and gentlemen, someone was jealous, someone was envious, someone hated him, and they shouted him, and they hated him. Verse 23 of Genesis chapter 49. Now reckon who hated him, who killed him. Oh, but we don't want to face the factual explanation, and Pastor Buddy's got it for you tonight. If you can handle truth, if you can accept truth, if you can come out of her, my people, and touch not those traditional things, full well they reject the truth of Yahweh to keep their own tradition. A little town of Bethlehem, Judea, they'll be singing here in 1 month. And the evidence supports that he was not, and I repeat, he was not born in Bethlehem, Judea, on December the 25th, as the traditionalists, the liars, the pen of the lying scribes. No wonder Pastor Buddy is hated. No wonder he's rejected. No wonder the archers have sorely grieved him. Christ said, if they've hated me, they'll hate you. If they receive me, they'll receive you. Verse 24. Listen to what keeps us hanging on to Revelation truth. But his bow shall abode in strength. Ladies and gentlemen, when he was being questioned, did you know that in the 7th chapter of John, beginning at the 40th verse, now I want you to read that because we'll cover it next Sunday night, God willing. I want you to read the 7th chapter of the book of John, starting at the 40th verse and read through 52. If you will, and let me quickly cover the contents of the scriptures involved here that I suggested you should read. There was indeed a controversy of where he would be born. There was indeed a controversy of where he would be born. And in what land. And to who he really was. Was he a Jew? Or was he a Galilean? Well, listen to what the scripture here says in verse 24. His abode in strength. And the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the mighty God of Jacob. From hence is the shepherd, the stone of Israel. So the stone, the birthright stone, this is indicating the stone the builders rejected. You see, those builders were the Pharisees and the Jews, the Canaanite Jews that sat in the temple, over the temple. And Christ identified them as Canaanites. And if you look in the 8th chapter of the book of John, you will see that Christ knew who they were. They were pretenders. They were circumcised. They were mixed with the blood of Cain and the blood of Judah, and therefore they murdered, if you will, the king that came from the bloodline of Joseph. They didn't murder their own. They murdered a Galilean. They didn't kill a Jew. They killed a Galilean. They nailed him to a torture stake, and Christ did not say, "Forgive them," as it's recorded in the English versions of Luke chapter 23, verse 34. Get you a Greek Bible and see what it truly says. "Forgive them not, for they know what they did." Ladies and gentlemen, from beyond the sea in Jordan, in Galilee, the people that walk in darkness have seen a great light. Are you seeing the light tonight? You see the deception that we've been handed to? When the Bible said search the scriptures, it was telling you that certain scribes would change certain texts to throw you a loop, throw you for a loop, and take you by subtle craftiness. But if you've done your homework, if you fasted, if you prayed, if you deserve this truth will come to you. If you don't, this truth will pass you by because you're not deserving of the truth. You must hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you shall be filled. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Oh, they rejoice when they killed him. You know why? Come, this is the inheritor of the birthright. And we will have the fruits that go with the birthright. You know what fruit that is? The acceptance of the general Christian population that Christ was a Jew. And that the Jews are God's chosen people. This is one of the greatest deceptions on the earth. How that they have lied. And you say, "Oh, if you wouldn't lie, Pastor Buddy." Well, if you'll read Revelation chapter 2 and 9 and Revelation 3 and 9, you will see that there is a faction that call themselves Jews and are not, but are liars. They're only half Jews. Their father was Judah and their mother was a Canaanite. And these are the Pharisees and the scribes that Christ hated, and they vehemently hated him. For unto us, verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." So they'll be singing about the Prince of Peace on December the 25th. This is the lie of the serpents. The lie of the devil. To teach you to worship a wrong time. To observe a wrong time. And to put your monies into pagan ritual of the sun god of Ishtar Tammuz. Oh my. "For unto us a child is born." He's the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. He will come out of Galilee of the nations in the land of Zebulun. Oh my, how plain, how pure, and how true are the scriptures of Yah. Ladies and gentlemen, by the cunning and craftiness of men that lie in wait to deceive, they would deceive the very elect if possible. But listen to this. As we look at the birth of the Christ was on this wise, when his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. verse 20 of chapter 1, Matthew. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of Yahweh appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And it shall be a fulfillment of a virgin that will be with child. Remember, she will be with child beyond Jordan in Galilee. That's exactly where she became pregnant. And that's exactly where she had her child, in Bethlehem of Zebulun in northern Israel. He was not a Jew. He was not born in the town of Judea to Judean parents or Jewish parents. His parents were of the bloodline of David. Now, of course, Joseph did not contribute one drop of blood to the birth of the Messiah. Not one drop. Why? It's assumed, it was supposed that he was the father. So then, Mary, Miriam in the Hebrew, would have had to conceive without blood. You say, oh, Pastor Buddy, that's not true. You know he had to have blood. Well, let's see if he had any. In John's Gospel, according to John, book 1, and verse 10. Well, let me just read verse 9. He was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Remember, he said, they that sit in darkness have seen a great light. That's what he came for. In the land of Zebulun, and in the land of Zebulun was this town of Bethlehem, 7 miles exactly from Nazareth, and Joseph went up from Nazareth to Bethlehem. If he were then in Nazareth, northern Galilee, he would have went down south to Judah. He went north, ladies and gentlemen. And the Bible doesn't lie. He was in the world was made by him, and the world knew not. Remember, he's the mighty God, the everlasting Father, made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, because he came to his own. And his own received him not, but as many as received him, he gave them power to become the sons of God, or the sons of Yah, even to them that believe on his name. Believe on his name. His name was not Jesus. That's Greek Latin. That was developed in the 15th century by a Roman Catholic monk that gave him the name Jesus. His name was never Jesus. It was a four-letter word, the Yod-Heh-Vah-Heh. And with the Hebrew word of Savior, the Sotor in Greek, Messiah, in Hebrew, he was then known as Yahweh the Savior, or Yahushua, which were born not of blood, listen to this, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yah. Verse 13 of John in chapter 1. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of Yah. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Where did it dwell? From the land of Galilee. Was he a Galilean? Yes, he was. He was the lonely Galilean that walked the hills of Mount Zion. And according to the Gospel of John, in chapter 7, verse 1, he would not walk in Judea because they hated him there. They despised him. Oh, yes, there were some good Jews there. There is a set of Jews who are true descendant bloodline of the house of Jacob. But there are also Jews who are mixed with the Canaanite daughter of the one that is written in the book of Genesis, chapter 38. The Adullamite had a daughter, a Canaanite. So this Adullamite that Judah went down as he separated himself from his brethren, went on his own, went against the covenant teaching of his father Jacob, and there he married a Canaanite woman. And he had offspring, and the same offspring went down into the land of Egypt with the major body of the house of Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll assure you that the truth will stand when the world is on fire. Many people, therefore, when they heard this saying, said of the truth, this is the prophet. But others said, this is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come out of Galilee? Where did he come from, ladies and gentlemen? Did he come from Judea as a Jew, or did he come from Galilee as an Israelite? You choose. If not, the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, now the town of Bethlehem, where David was. So there was a division among the people because of him. Ladies and gentlemen, he was a Galilean. He was born in the Bethlehem of Zebulun. 7 miles exactly. Seven is the perfect step in order. Not 65 miles down the south into Judah. But the scriptures proclaim in the book of Isaiah chapter 9 that he would be born in the land of Zebulun, Galilee. And the archaeologists have proven that at the time of Christ, there was not a flourishing city in southern Judah. Who made this up, ladies and gentlemen? Somebody wanted to steal the birthright. Someone had something planned. And my time is all gone, and I'll finish part two. This is part one. I said a prayer for you today, and I want you to know that. To know that Yahweh, he must have heard. I felt the answer in my heart, although he spoke no word. I didn't ask for wealth of fame. I knew you wouldn't mind. I asked him to send treasures of a far more lasting kind. I asked that he'd be near you at the start of each beginning day, to grant you help and blessings and friends to share your way. I asked for happiness for you in all things great and small, but it was for his loving care. I pray for you most of all. May his loving care be with you, and may he direct your understanding. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got to get out of here. If you'd like to call Dr. Gary tomorrow morning at 1-877-289-7439. Listen, folks, we have got one of the best medical treatment plans for heart trouble, diabetes, sugar. If you've got sugar, if you've got heart trouble, this is a proven plan that will help you. Any kind of sickness, we can assure you, this will help you immensely. Now, you can call Dr. Garrett, 1-877-289-7439, or call Pastor Buddy, and I'll clue you in. You can call me, area code 423-626-2172. That's area code 423-626-2172. You can write me tonight. Get your pen and paper. Write me at Post Office Box. That's simply Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. That's Pastor Buddy. Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. The zip 37824. Again, area code 423-626-2172 or 1-877-289-7439 for information on the health plan. And if you'd like the health for your soul, talk to Pastor Buddy tonight. You can call me. I'm live around the world on WWCR 5070, or whenever you hear this program, you know it's Pastor Buddy bringing you exclusive truths for the season. And the reasons that Christ was not born on December the 25th, and neither was he born in Bethlehem of Judea, as the prophet said. You see, Herod went up and slayed all the Israelite children. He knew where they were at. He knew where Christ was prophesied to be born. He went up in Galilee. That's where Rachel was weeping for her children. So I assure you tonight, truth can come if you want the truth. You got to have a prophet. You can't hear without a preacher. You can't preach except to be sent. So you come by hearing and hearing of the word. Come on now. Call me tonight. I'm live here on the 27th day of November. Moving right along in time. So give me a call. Area code 423-626-2172. You can write me, Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. That's 37824 for Pastor Buddy, Post Office Box 2284. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I know that you're not going to quit. You're not a quitter. You don't give up. When things go wrong, as it sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, keep your spirits high. For through thick and thin, you must carry on if you're to win. Life is strange with twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes eventually learns. It challenges us to often give up when we could have captured the victor's cup. So turn your failures inside out. Press them on past fear and doubt. Never mind the things that hold you back a bit. You'll come out on top if you don't quit. Let's press toward the mark in the high calling, which is in our Messiah. Press toward his correct birthday. Send for my teachings when Christ was born. Send for the teachings on where he was born. And you'll see that someone has lied to you exclusively as scribes and Pharisees. And the Bible said, beware of them. Ladies and gentlemen, until next Sunday night, when we will go into part two of where he was born. We've done part one of when he was born. If you'd like to hear part two, tune in next Sunday night.
Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. When the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne, and at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down when the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorny. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the prick. In measured 100 weight and penny pounds, when the man comes around.
And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts, and I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death. And hell followed with him.